Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry. I'm tired of running, running, running into the things that kill my soul. Tired of always swinging hammers at the love that makes me whole. I'm running. All the roads that lead to you, sitting off on a one-way train to a place where they know my name. Yeah.
We welcome you to another episode of the Everyday Ministry Podcast. My name is Daniel. We have James on, and we have friend Chris on with us. Chris Norsworthy. I think I pronounced it right, man. I really just sounded it out. But we are excited to be here for another episode. A couple things real quick that I wanted to do to engage you, our listeners. James and I have been talking about this a little bit, about trying to do something to get you guys a little more engaged, to give you an opportunity to get involved with our show. Something we're going to be doing here in the very near future is we're going to be kind of doing a little fun giveaway, and we don't know yet exactly what that's going to be, but we will be doing something fun to get you guys engaged. And really, best thing that we can do, and the reason we're doing this, is so you can help us. We are trying to get some reviews on iTunes and other areas, other platforms that we're on, so that we can help get our name out there. And you can help us by reviewing our podcast on iTunes and other areas and helping us promote ourselves a little bit. That sounds terrible, but that really is what we're trying to do. We want to let other people know that we exist, because we do believe that what we're doing is beneficial to other ministers, whether you be on staff at a church or just a lay person at your church, or even just some type of new young volunteer at your church, whatever, to help you, to encourage you, and to hopefully teach you something, because we're learning along the way as well. So we're just sharing what we're learning. So we're going to kind of move into this episode now. A couple things about myself. Nothing really with me. Still building the house, still raising a child, still living life, still going through school. So same things for me as I've been going through the last couple of weeks. So I will say my daughter was sick all week last week, and she is doing so much better. James, I'll turn it over to you, man. How are things going your way?
Man, going good. You know, we were planning this episode tonight, and I was talking to you and Chris, and I was trying to figure out what time to do this. And Chris told me, he said, you know, I can do it after 8 and put the child to sleep at 8. And Dan, you said you could do it after 9. And I'm over here like, well, I'm just watching The Office the rest of the day. So, but nothing really big going on in my life right now, just everyday life. I mean, ministry, school, and work, probably what most listeners are going through. On this episode today, as we move into it, we're going to, just a minute, we're going to let Chris introduce himself and just tell us whatever he wants us to know. But just to kind of get the topic out there, or if you haven't noticed by the big picture on the podcast screen, we're going to be talking about elders in the church, and also going to address the idea of lay elders in the church. So really excited about this topic. It's one that I love talking about. But as we get into it, Chris, if you could just introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks to y'all for having me on here, first of all. I am from the Baton Rouge area in Louisiana, and I am an associate pastor / elder at a church in a city outside of Baton Rouge called Friendship Baptist Church. And I've been there for since October of last year. And I have a wife, Katie. She and I have been married for over 10 years now. So that's pretty awesome. And we got 2 kids, and my daughter has also been sick. Well, today she's sick. That's why you can see the pink wall behind me, because I'm sitting in her room right now, because it's the only place in my house I had to record.
So, I thought the wall was pink, but I wasn't sure if it was my screen or what. So I was going to ask earlier, but
there you go. There's pink stripes that I painted on the wall over there. This is just like I'm sitting in my daughter's homeschool desk right now. It's kind of tight. My normal study is a shed, but the crickets are too loud outside right now to record out there. So I'm here. So Evelyn and Vincent, I got a 7 and almost 5-year-old. And then also, I'm not on staff at my church. So as a full-time job, essentially with a graphic designer, I do some video editing and things like that. And I've been doing that since I was actually in Bible school. I'm also a seminarian. I'm still going after my MDiv. I was going to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, but currently I am attending Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary online. And in addition to all of those things, I also, given that I'm a graphic designer, artist kind of person. I also have like a t-shirt and art print company called Reform Goods. No, that's my Instagram handle. The name of the company is Reform Christian Goods and Clothing. So we have like art prints and t-shirts and decals and stuff like that. And that's just something I do kind of like part-time, but it's gotten me a lot of connections, which I think that's how James and I came in contact with each other, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, between that and being in the Baptist Review together.
The Baptist Review. Yeah, exactly. Because I told my wife, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do a podcast tonight with James White. Not that James White. Just kind of let it sink in there for a minute. Yeah, so that's the first time I ever saw your name was in the Baptist Review. Well, being like, oh, whoops, I didn't mean to mention that James White.
Yeah. I have a buddy of mine that made a meme for me that says, no, not that James White. because that happens to me at least once a week. So.
Change your name.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's pretty much me in a nutshell, I guess.
So all three of us are currently in seminary this semester. How's that going for y'all right now?
Dude, it's lighting me up, man. I'm taking Greek 2 this semester, and I am taking something else, but Greek is consuming my life. So the other class is exploring the New Testament, so it's pretty well a cakewalk compared to Greek. Greek is everything right now.
And what school do you go to? I'm sorry.
I'm at New Orleans Seminary.
Okay. All right. Yep. Yeah. I took that class like 2 semesters ago, and yeah, it was pretty easy. Not Greek. Exploring the New Testament.
I was about to say, I've got a midterm coming up this coming week. I'm going to call you later.
Nah, I haven't done any of my languages yet, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to see it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what moment, but unfortunate for the fact that it's in your near future.
So. Yeah, exactly.
I guess I need to get started on that 25-page paper I have for Hebrew. Jeez. At some point, but, you know. I'll wait till 2 weeks before and get it taken care of or something. Well, guys, I'm glad your seminary semester is going well. Hopefully you can finish strong with some A's, or if you're like me, you may have a B or maybe a C. So, but as we get into it tonight, I know you just introduced yourself, but if you could just give us, you know, your elevator speech of how you come to Christ.
I have one of those stories that people often think that they don't have a testimony, such as my wife, who we grew up in a similar way. We grew up in church, and we both became Christians at a young age. My testimony is that God saved me at a very young age, and I was able to, you know, reap benefits of that. I see that as a huge blessing. A huge miracle in my life that I was able to be saved at a young age. I grew up in church. My father is a pastor. So, you know, I lived church, in church and at home, that whole kind of thing. And I'm one of the, you know, lucky ones who don't, not every preacher's kid is a horrible, like, child, right? Not every preacher's kid grows up to hate the church. No one in my family does. So yeah, I was saved at a young age. Of course, you know, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to go be a youth and do some stupid stuff and all that kind of thing. But I grew up, you know, I got saved. So, I mean, it's a pretty simple, short story. I wasn't saved out of any huge sin, you know, anything like that. I wasn't a mafia boss or anything. I was a kid. Jesus saved me. And, you know, all glory to him.
That's right. I can relate to that. I was 8 years old, grew up in church. That's how I come to Christ, and then really committed my life to him and sort of living for him as I should when I was later in high school and early in college. So I can relate. And then, you know, I was thinking about when you were telling us that our previous guest Guy, you know, he was telling us about his testimony last week, and it was pretty much the same thing. You know, grew up in church, come to Christ after the death of his aunt, and yeah, you know, just a growing up in the church. And it's just as Daniel said that episode, is that, you know, it's still an amazing testimony of what God can do and how he saves those that are lost. So how did you end up at the church you're at now? And as you tell us that story, you can also kind of lead into how you end up being an elder there.
Yeah, which is good, because the two are actually the same thing.
Okay.
I mean, I'll start kind of back a few years just to make the story a little bit more interesting. But yeah, so I grew up in charismatic church. My father is charismatic Pentecostal preacher. And in my early 20s, I decided to go to Bible school at a school in Dallas, Texas called Christ for the Nations. And got my bachelor's degree while I was there at Dallas Baptist University. And in the meantime, I kind of went through a process of, not because of the college, not because of Dallas Baptist University, but I ended up theologically becoming a Baptist without realizing it, which is why I'll say that Dallas Baptist University didn't really have much to do with it. I inadvertently became a Baptist. And once I moved back to the Baton Rouge area, about 5 years after I'd moved to Dallas, I was at a church and ran into an old friend, and we started speaking, and we grew up in a similar way, in a similar type church. And we ended up actually deciding to plant a church. And a large part of it, I think, was, at least on my part, was just out of ignorance for how to find a church of people that taught the same things that I believed. Because I did not yet, at this point in 2013, know what Baptists believed.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't a Baptist podcast. I'm not coming against, you know, other people. I believe that my family are believers, and, you know, have friends who aren't Baptist, and friends who are charismatic, and friends who are, you know, other kinds of denominations. I just say all that to say that we went into a church plant. So that was my first kind of foray into a pastoral leadership, and God ended up using that, even though it wasn't meant to be long-term, he ended up using that to put a lot of people in our lives. And that's how I ended up, my family ended up at a church in Denham Springs called New Covenant Baptist Church. And while I was there, I was a pastoral intern. So essentially I was teaching responsibilities, and we were meeting weekly and like those kind of things. So me and a guy who became really close in our church plant, who I'd previously known, but we weren't friends. We became friends through the church plant. We're still great friends today. We went to see the real James White at a conference in Mississippi. So we went to see Dr. James White at the Deep South Founders Conference. And while we were there, this was last January 2017. While we were there, I saw somebody's, this is Mississippi, so it was like 2.5 hours away from my house, my town. I see a name tag on a guy, and I was like, hey, your name looks familiar. Where have I seen that before? And it was from Facebook. His name's Rusty Reed. His name just stood out to me. So we actually struck up a conversation there. We hung out with some of his guys that were there at the church, that they were there with him from church. And we kind of struck up a friendship over the next 7 to 8 months. We would talk every once in a while, and I just threw it out there to him once, like, hey, like, I love New Covenant. I love the church that I'm at right now. It's the kind of church that I think that, in theory, my family could stay at for the rest of my life. But also, you know that I'm called to ministry. I'm called to pastor. And this church has pastors. This church has those roles. And I'm helping, and I'm doing what I can here. But, you know, I probably won't be here forever. So, you know, if you ever hear of anything, ever hear of anybody needing someone or interested in somebody, you know, that needs help, just let me know. I didn't know that they were currently those people.
Yeah.
So that, you know, at first he was like, all right, I'll let you know if I ever hear of anything. And then, I don't know, like an hour or two later, or maybe even, I think just at the same time, just in passing, he was like, yeah, we need somebody, but we're not paying. Ha ha. And I was like, well, I didn't say I was looking for a job. Said I was looking for a place to serve. So that's how I ended up at the church we're at right now. We ended up visiting just to check it out before, you know, the couple people knew that while we were visiting, but no one else really knew. So we ended up visiting to check it out to see what the church was like, because of course, especially, I don't know, for me personally, I wouldn't want to go serve at a church where it wouldn't be a church that I was would fit in just as a normal member, you know what I mean? And I say fit in the sense that, like, if it wouldn't be the kind of church I would be a member of, that I would want my family to be at, that I would want my children to be at, or that I know I'm going to grow, then I know that I would feel comfortable inviting people to come to that church as it is at that time, that wouldn't be a place that I would want to go. I was being wise about the decision, knowing that God had called me somewhere, but not going to go to the first place that somebody asked me to come to, because I wasn't going to put my spiritual well-being and the spiritual well-being of my family over this desire to pastor or desire to be in leadership at a church. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how we ended up there. We came on a tentative kind of a time period, mm-hmm. that would kind of give us a little bit of time to kind of get used to everything, to see, to make sure, you know, the church that we were at, they said, you know, we love you. Like, you can come back and walk right into the same things you were doing, you know, essentially, like, you know, you're always welcome back here, and you're not going to be like cut out of fellowship, or even like you can walk back into the meetings and the teaching and all that kind of stuff, or we can fit you in. Gotcha. So, you know, it was kind of a good balance there. And our current church, Friendship Baptist Church, they wanted some time to get to know us. We needed some time to get to know them. But we also, I walked in immediately in the sense that I was going to be, though they were going to eventually vote on me, you know, whether or not I was, they're going to elect me as an elder. I walked in all practical aspects as, you know, a new associate pastor, elder situation.
I got you. All right. Well, one question that we always ask people as we get into the podcast, and I really wanted to do this before we get into y'all's specific church and how the role of an elder looks in y'all's circumstance is, how would you define an everyday minister?
How would I define an everyday minister? I know I've listened to a few of your podcasts, and I read, you wrote it. I think it was you, James, who wrote a blog on this, correct?
Yeah.
And I think that you've defined it pretty well, but I think your key verse is Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, I think, where he gave us the prophets, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the ministry, for building up the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And we know that along with the Great Commission, that the church as a whole, as a unit, as a body is called to fulfill the mission, the commission that we were given by Christ. And that's to make disciples and to teach what Jesus commanded and to baptize people and to do what the church ought to be doing as a body. And he did not call a specific, he didn't just call the leaders of specific local representations of his body. Mm-hmm. i.e. your local church, to go out and do ministry. He called the body of Christ to be ministers. And I'll refer to Ephesians 2:8, so just a couple chapters before that. We're all familiar with that, where it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God and not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But he continues, and in verse 10, he says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And he is talking to all of us that we aren't saved by a result of good works, but that we are created in Christ for the purpose of good works. Mm-hmm. So I would say that that all believers are called to be ministers and are called to be as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that you are the light of the world. You are created for good works. The leaders of the church are there to equip us, the saints, for the work of ministry. And we're called to fulfill the Great Commission. Each and every one of us, whether it is a leader in the church or the youngest believer in the church, are called to be ministers. Although we all fulfill that in different ways, working together as one body.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. I think that's what the common theme is. And that's one thing we want to make clear in this podcast is that, and it's kind of our goal is so often when we hear the term minister, most people initially think of a pastor or an elder or something of that nature. But in all reality, it's all believers. It's all of the saints. It's all of those that have come to Christ in salvation. Their job is to minister to those around them. And then the everyday aspect is, you know, I think of yourself in such a perfect situation as this, is that, you know, through your vocation, through your everyday life, you minister to those around you in everyday life, just as I do when I go to the post office, or Daniel does when he goes and drives the dump truck 3 days a week, or as mm-hmm. Corey does, as he works in the high schools as a sub. So I think your answer is hitting right on. I didn't even think about Ephesians 2 when I wrote that blog. I would have referred back to it if I would have. I think it's even more clear in that moment that what the purpose is. So you've told us about your church. You told us about yourself. And we've asked you the signature question of every episode. And we kind of want to get into the topic. That is the idea of an elder. And as you said before, you serve as a volunteer or a lay elder in the church, however you want to word that. And it doesn't mean that you're any less of an elder, right? Or any less of a pastor. It's just that you don't get paid to do so. And I mean, I'm sure the same requirement, same, all of that's the same for you. But as we get into this, I'm just curious, how is the pastoral or elder team structured in your church?
We really have three elders currently. And we have the lead pastor who is on staff. And then we have two associate pastors / elders. So, and then we also have a board of deacons as well. That's how our church is structured. And the deacons are there as, you know, other servant leaders that help us along and help you know, the church members and what they do. Obviously, your last episode was about the role of deacons, the ministry of deacons. So we do a lot with them. We do meet a lot with them. Our deacons are very integral to the structure and the work that gets done in our church, and including many of them who are teaching and things like that as well. As elders, associate pastor elders, we've there in part to assist the lead pastor. Okay. He's making decisions, his unilateral decisions that he makes is probably would come down to what he's going to be preaching on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. And other than that, pretty much everything else that we discuss or that we make decisions of, for the most part, are all three of us working together to guide the church as a whole and what classes and things like that are being taught, to guide the church and what, you know, the direction of the theology that we're going to teach, and structuring things to get things out to the other leaders, deacons, and teachers that are in the church, and kind of moving things along in that direction. Our church isn't very big. Right now, currently, in general attendance would be somewhere in like the 60s.
Okay.
It's not a huge church, but most people are involved in lots of different ways, and there's a lot of different things going on, even for such a, I'd say, a typical size church, probably. Yeah. Small on the small end whenever you're comparing it to other churches that are hundreds or thousands of members.
So I'm assuming with the church that size, the senior pastor is probably bivocational, or is he full-time?
He is, unlike... So I have a full-time job. The other associate pastor, he's currently retired. So we kind of have me. I'm the young guy, even though I'm not that young. our lead pastor, he's been at the church for about 17 to 18 years. He's currently in his 50s. Or no, he's 50. So he's got his two kids out of high school and that kind of thing. And he has held full-time jobs and stuff like that while pastoring at the same time. Currently, he is technically on staff, but he does do work here and there, kind of thing. Okay. Where he doesn't hold a full-time job outside of the church. Our other pastor, or associate pastor, he was on the police force, and he retired a few years ago, so he's currently in retirement, but isn't technically on staff. And I, like I said, work a full-time job outside of the church.
Okay. All right. So with the other two guys having a little more flexibility with their job and being retired and all of that, when it comes to y'all's meetings and just how everything works together, does there tend to be a difference between the lay aspect of the elder team and the paid aspect of it, or do y'all work pretty good well together in that, or how's that kind of look?
Currently, no. First of all, I would say that God has blessed me greatly in the fact that the job that I do have right now, that I've been at for the past few years, is very close to my home. It's only about 10 minutes away from my home. Whenever I started going to seminary, they allowed me to move my schedule to 4/10s rather than going in 5 days a week. And they're very flexible with my schedule as well. So sometimes, just given the job that I have, I'm able to work from home, later at night if I need to leave or whatever. So I'm largely, although I am working 40 hours a week, I'm off on Mondays, which is large part of where I do like my seminary work. Whenever I was attending on campus, I would actually go down to campus. But I would say that because of my schedule and my flexibility at my job, there's not really much that's keeping me away from doing the normal meetings and things of that nature. Although there is some aspects where I'm not always easily able to get to the church as the other two are. And part of that's distance as well. I'm not super close to the church building.
Okay.
But in terms of our active roles, in terms of our active roles in elder meetings, or meetings where we're bringing in deacons or other men, that I'm not playing second fiddle or anything, but do you know what I mean? In the sense that, other than the fact that, yeah, I mean, we do kind of have an understanding of our lead pastor being the lead pastor.
Yeah.
There's no technical sense am I different than that. And I would say practically, other than us submitting to him as our lead pastor, I wouldn't say that there's that much of a difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I actually wanted to ask Daniel something very similar, because up until a few months back, you weren't full time at the church or nothing like that, but because you didn't have another job, you were a lot more flexible of being at the church more often. Since you have started working the 3 days a week, generally, has it been harder for you? Has there been a different dynamic when it comes to being with the other folks on staff at your church?
Well, our church is sort of similar in the same sense that you're talking about there, Chris, in that we've got our pastor, he is full time, but our education minister, our children's minister, and myself are all part time bivocational. And so because of that, we've all been pretty consistently having to work around each other's schedules. There's really not a 2 week period where our schedules are the same. We do try to keep our staff meetings around the same each week. And luckily for the last month, we've been able to do that. But when I just recently started my other job that I work 3 days a week, we did have to move our schedules around a good bit in order to find a time that works for all of us. So that's definitely a challenge for us, in that just when you are bivocational, yeah, like you said, the Lord definitely has blessed me for, you know, by putting this in my path and allowing me to provide for my family in the way that I need to. But at the same time, man, it is majorly challenging, especially when you're not used to having to work two jobs like this and having to spread your time out that much more. You have to be so diligent with the time that you do have for ministry purposes. Just be intentional in making phone calls, studying when you have time to study, making visits, going to sporting events as a student pastor, things like that. You know, you just have to be so much more diligent with the time that you do have for ministerial purposes, that it certainly has opened my eyes to probably a lot of time that I had wasted beforehand, before I was officially bivocational.
Yeah. Well, I just know for me and my music pastor, if it wasn't for kind of like how we're recording this right now with Google Hangout, man, we wouldn't be able to have a meeting as much as we do. But luckily we grab one night a week, or every other week, and it may be 10, 11 o'clock at night where we get on here and chat, talk 30, 40 minutes about just the church and what's going on and all of that. So is there anything you want to add to that question before we move on?
Yeah, I agree with both of the things that y'all were talking about. Is I think technology nowadays has made things a lot. You know, I remember hearing Mark Dever on his podcast speak of course, they have 30 or 50 elders or something at their church. Whether they do have staff elders and lay elders, and they were coming into issues where before meetings, the staff elders were talking about things for a week, you know, before ever getting into their meetings. And then they're going to vote on stuff, and people were showing up and only seeing something for the first time. So they started integrating more like emails and things like that, where they were letting people know of issues and things that needed to be talked about or considered for the lay elders who weren't in the office all week. And we've used, you know, Google Hangout, you know, even doing like a three-way phone call or group text messages or Trello. Trello is a great free tool to use for lists and things like that.
Well, you have to explain what Trello is when we get to the plug of the week part, because I have no idea, and it sounds like a good plan.
Okay, I'll talk about that.
All right. I was just going to say, as we, you know, we kind of move forward in the podcast, you know, two more questions I just had. And the first one is, with you being a lay elder, has there been a benefit for the church for you to be able to volunteer that time? Or, I mean, obvious benefit would be that they have a pastor and don't have to financially support them. But has there been any other side that is beneficial for the church?
Yeah, I mean, of course, as you said, I mean, many churches can't afford the income to hire multiple elders or ministers in their positions. But as far as a benefit to the church, besides that, besides just having an extra person that you don't have to pay, that's a great question. and I've considered it before, but I've never considered it in quite that way. I guess I've always...
Well, one thing that just initially comes to my mind is the fact that, not saying pastors don't understand where the congregation is coming from, but as a lay elder or a bivocational minister, you understand directly in the same way that the congregation does of the busyness of life and of work and all of that. And, right. you know, the demands of living out the gospel, but also working and being a part of the church.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking, I was too stuck thinking about my current church that I'm in right now. My father has been a pastor. So, I see that there's things there where, and not to compare myself to my dad or say that he did anything wrong, but benefits that I currently have, even though there could in some sense be seen as a burden, I do have to manage going to a different job and dealing with the stresses of work and having to leave that behind. Also trying to do my work as unto Christ and doing it as unto God, but not being a pastor at work. Although I am a pastor at work, you know,
trying
to balance that and understanding that aspect of living the Christian life. Also, you know, you can easily see how someone who, if they got their bachelor's degree, they went to seminary, they went straight into the ministry. You know, maybe they worked some jobs through college, but they've been a full-time minister for 30 or 40 years. Well, maybe they've even moved around a couple of other places. You know, they didn't get a job in their hometown. They got a job five states away or whatever. And then they're on their third pastorate right now. Well, the only people that many of them know, or, you know, maybe the person that they're the clerk at the gas station or something, if they go in, you know, at the grocery. But most of the people that they know, unless they're being intentional about it, are only the people from the church.
Yeah.
I'm not coming against anybody who is in that position necessarily, but there's the benefit of being in the world and not of the world. Well, sometimes you're so far removed from the world and that being the people of the world that you don't relate to them. And you know how iron sharpens iron, but sometimes I'm sure there's a phrase that means the opposite of that, or like there's good iron and there's bad iron, I suppose. And sometimes you get sharpened by being around things that are outside of the pastorate or outside of the full-time ministry. And I'm not coming to that as a critique against anybody, you know what I mean? But
well, no, of course not, because there's a benefit in both ends, right? There's a benefit of being full-time. You know, obviously there's a lot of benefits to that. There's a benefit to being bivocational or lay elder that you don't get in one or the other. And it's not about comparing one to the other. It's just taking advantage of what God has blessed that individual with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there is definitely a bubble that right. ministers live in when they are full-time and they are just consumed with church life and church polity and everything else that they're involved in on a day-to-day basis, that they just simply don't see the things of the world the way that bivocational ministers do. I mean, and I'm learning that more than ever right now as I'm getting into this, or as I am in this job now. The first week or two of being in this, like I tried to put on a good poker face, but it was culture shock for me. You kind of being around some guys that, not that there's anything wrong with these guys. I mean, a lot of them need Jesus, but you know, the reality is, how would they get Jesus if they're not ever approaching the church and if no one from the church is ever approaching them? And so what an opportunity to be able to be in an environment like this and get outside of the bubble of my church office. So there are absolutely benefits to being bivocational. The downside, it's a little more stressful, a little more time, you know, restriction to how much you can put towards ministry and how much you can't. But the benefit is, man, I get to be in the trenches of the world, so to speak, a lot more regular basis now than I was before.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I experienced a similar situation whenever I moved away. Like I moved from Baton Rouge to Dallas and I was living on campus. And then a year later, my wife and I got married, and then she got a job at the ministry that had a Bible school. And then I got a job there. And then, you know, we were going to church in Dallas. And then all of our friends were either from my Bible school or just our coworkers from the ministry. So, and we lived on campus. So it was like, we lived we lived there. I went to school there. We both worked there. All of our friends were not from there, but they were from the church that we went to. And other than the fact that I worked at like Best Buy for like 6 months, that's the only non-believers or, you know, non-confessing believers that I knew were remnants from that. So yeah, you go out into the atmosphere of, for one thing, it's shocking to you, like I said, like you said. But then another thing is, like, if I would have not have had an impact on any non-believers, to my knowledge, really in Dallas, besides the fact that I worked at Best Buy for 6 months, you know, I mean, long-term impact. Yeah. Of course, not saying that there wasn't opportunity to evangelize and things like that outside of that, but you know, in context of what we're talking about, building relationships with people and things like that, I wouldn't have had any other opportunity to do that.
Well, I think about it on the practical sense of when you prepare a sermon and you're trying to portray God's word in a way that they can apply it to their lives. As someone that works a job just as they do, it's easy to relate to them in such a way that you can help them live out these truths in everyday life that you may not be able to if you go and sit in an office every day. And as you said, Chris, it's not about, you know, downing anybody that is full time. I think they should love and appreciate what God has offered to them in that. Well, one last question I want to ask before we get to the plug of the week is for yourself. What is one advice that you would give to an individual that desires to be in ministry? It may be the role of a lay elder that they can step into that role. What is some advice you would give to them?
Well, a couple of things, I guess. First of all, I would say that your main priority is God and your own spiritual relationship with Him. Your desire or your feel towards a calling does not exclude you just being a believer and doing what the Bible tells every believer to do. You know, so you're first called to be a Christian. Any call towards a pastoral role is only second to that. And then I would say that you have to be, of course, this goes along second to what I just said. You have to be in a church. You have to be able to be part of a body of believers and to be able to be a normal, a healthy church member before you can consider yourself able to be a healthy minister. But if you want to be a healthy pastor or healthy elder or deacon, you first got to be a healthy church member. And then from that point, you know, of course you're going to have people who are like, well, I can't find a church or whatever. Well, sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's just you. Sometimes it's difficult to find a church. Yeah, I understand that. But I'm talking in general terms here. You know, if you live in a city and you're the only city for 100 miles and the only church there is, you know, a Buddhist temple or whatever, it's not a church, then yeah, maybe you are called to plant a church there.
Yeah.
But besides that, you need to learn and you need to be able to be a healthy functioning member of a church. And whenever you are there, then I would say that you need to approach the leaders of the church and talk to them about it. And best way to, in my opinion, of course, I mean, I'm all about education and seminary and stuff like that, but the best way to learn to be a pastor is from other pastors.
That's right.
Seminary is great. But if you're going to pastor, you need to learn from other pastors.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I would just say that it's not going to happen overnight. If God has called you to something, He will fulfill His purpose. He will fulfill His plan. And you know what you're called to do, those things that I just laid out. You must be a part of the body of Christ. You must be to follow Scripture. That's His will for you that you know of. And you, if you feel that you've been called to something as a leader in the church, then you just got to keep doing what you're doing. Mm. Keep moving towards that as reasonable a way as you can and believe that God will bring it about.
That's right. Well, very similar to kind of what Guy's advice to deacons was last week is one aspiring to be a deacon is, you know, really plug into your church, serve your church. And as you do that, I think, not saying it's always the case, but I think the pastors and the leadership would notice and they will help you in that way. And then, like you said, man, it's just a matter of being a part of your church, because even when you go to most seminaries, I've only been to two Bible colleges, but both of those schools required me to have a letter from my church saying that we okayed you to go.
Yeah.
So be a part of your church, because seminary is not going to fix everything overnight. So as we move into the last part of the podcast, before we get into that, Daniel, you want to add anything to any of that, or do you just want to go ahead and jump into the plug of the week?
Man, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, we're going to do the plug of the week. The plug that I have is a little brown book, if I'm remembering right. It's called Elders, Church Elders, by Nine Marks. It's about a 90 pages small book, fantastic book. I would encourage all the listeners to get that, read that. Any other plugs from you guys?
Yeah, I've got actually a couple of plugs real quick. One is a book that I've just started to read a little bit of, just the first couple of chapters, but it's called High King of Heaven. And it's actually a collection of essays from multiple, just very, very influential Christian minds in our culture today. And the main editor of it is John MacArthur. And man, it just talks all about the person of Christ, the different doctrines of Jesus, and each of these guys. I mean, I'm telling you, it is a rock star lineup of influential voices in our realm, if you would want to call it that. But that's one that I've just started reading, and man, I have loved it. It's deep and it's just full of good stuff. And then the other one that I want to mention is actually another podcast. Not that these guys really need any help with their podcast, but I will suggest it just because it's been something I've been just addicted to here lately. It's called My Third Decade by Derry Prinkert. And it's actually in the DYM podcast network. I've just started listening to that over the last couple of weeks, and it has just been a really, really awesome, encouraging podcast for me being in student ministry, to be able to listen to a guy who has just fought through so much stuff, who's gone through so much junk, but who's also just stayed faithful, like we've been talking about, just stayed faithful in his ministry, in the place that he's been called, not willing to leave or jump ship easily just because something difficult comes along. And he just talks about all throughout his podcast, just the awesome benefits that has brought about in his life. But he's also talked a lot about practically about, these are the ways that I've been able to stay plugged in for as long as I have at the same church for, I think he said, 23 years now. So, which is just crazy, unheard of for a student pastor to be at the same church for 23 years. Awesome, awesome podcast. I could not recommend it more. So yeah, that's my two.
All right. What about you, Chris?
All right. I've got like 10, but I'll try to keep it short.
All right, well, give me two of them and send me the rest of them and I'll put them in the show notes.
Well, you added to it cause you asked me about Trello, but all right.
Give me three then.
All right. Okay. First, I would say if you're going to listen to a podcast, it's another Nine Marks thing. It's called Pastor's Talk. It's with Mark Dever and one of his other elders. Oh man. If another podcast, if you are just, this isn't ministry related, but it's just Christian worldview related, listen to the Briefing with Al Mohler. Please do that. If you do anything else, do that.
Both me and Daniel listen to that pretty regular. So
it's great. It's every day. He goes through issues that are happening in the world in the United States, news and points.
And it's fantastic because it's 23 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not an hour, not an hour and a half of political junk. It's 23 concise minutes about what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I can enjoy some of that hour and a half political junk that people get into, but he's not getting into politics. He's looking at issues and news stories and how they relate back to scripture and the historical Christian worldview. So it's good. And just helping you to think in a biblical way, but also to, you know, hear the news. So, and then I guess, oh man, can I?
Go ahead with one more.
All right, one more. I will say big resource. It's called Chapel Library, and it's a website, chapellibrary.org, and it's great for multiple reasons. One of the reasons is, well, they reprint a lot of old sermons and stuff like that. So Charles Spurgeon or Jonathan Edwards or Martin Luther, things like that. They reprint them in little booklet forms, and often they're pocket size, and you can just put it in your pocket and walk around with it. And instead of looking at your iPhone when you're in a waiting room, you can look at this and just read a sermon. They make tracts and stuff like that. They will mail you a certain amount of these books and booklets and tracts for free once a month. So that's an A+ right there, right? But then also all of the books that they offer are downloadable as free eBooks as well, as PDF or Google Play or Kindle or anything like that. So that's Chapel Library. The catechism that we use for our kids for my house and our church. We just, you know, we use it for that. We have a book table, and a lot of those books are booklets that we've required from there, that either they gave it to us for free or they sell for a very, it's a ministry. So they sell them at cost. Yeah. If you do have to buy them. So it's like 20 cents or 40 cents for a booklet. So that's my recommendations. But also I'll tell you about Trello, kind of brought along to the church as just a management tool for projects and things like that at church. And it's not for church. I use it in my personal life to like plan a vacation and things like that. But basically you can set up teams and things like that for free. So up boards, user accounts, all this, and make lists that are drag and drop, that are editable, that you can change. You can put assignments with due dates on them, email alerts, app alerts, conversations, at mentions, all these kind of things. That if you're planning a project or you're doing long term or short term, or just taking notes from a meeting and want to keep them for later and then divide them up into tasks later. And it's all free and it's all cloud-based and you can access it on your tablets, your computer, your phone, all those kind of things. So just, that's one of the things when I was talking earlier about just technology being helpful and how we do things now, that you can always be connected to these things. And Trello is just a great free product. So that's my plug for that. You can cut it out if you want to.
No, that sounds useful. Well, guys, it's been fun. It's been a good conversation about elders in the church. And before we get off here, Daniel, you got anything you want to add?
Man, I appreciate your time with us, Chris. I think you had a lot of good insight and things to share with us, man. So I just appreciate you taking time to come and be on our show with us.
Thanks for having me. I think the podcast is great. It's a great concept, and I like the way that y'all are practically doing it, and I've enjoyed listening to it so far. So thanks for having me.
All right. Well, awesome, guys. And I just want to echo what Daniel started off with. Coming up soon, we're going to do some kind of giveaway. He said something about Starbucks. I told him that was pagan. And then that's where we came up with some maybe Chick-fil-A gift card or something like that. No, we're going to do something, and you'll get the details of that coming up soon. But until then, we just want to encourage you that if you listen to the podcast and it's been an encouragement to you, or if you would like to hear a certain topic or something that you would like for us to talk about, shoot us a direct message in Facebook on the podcast page or mine or Daniel's page one. We'll be more than happy to discuss anything you want to hear about. And if we can't do it, we'll get somebody on here that knows what they're talking about. So listeners out there, we're praying for you and your ministry. And if there's anything that we can do for you, just, you know, reach out to us. And this has been an episode of the Everyday Ministry Podcast, a podcast where everyday ministers get together to discuss ministry.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in. I'm sick of running into the wind. This drags my back, bounce onto, stuck. Gotta get out of here fast. I'm running. I'm heading back to my roots and all the roads that lead to you. Sitting off on a one-way train to a place.
and all the roads that lead to you. Setting off on a one-way train to a place where they know my. Heading back to my roots and all the way.